and talk about what we are going to deal with, because I think other people, they have a different agenda than we have, not necessarily members. This morning we are going to deal with a briefing by Parliamentary Legal Services on SABC board inquiry recommendations. You remember there was an ad hoc committee who, when they finished all what they were doing, they reported to Parliament. And that report became a Parliament report. And recommendations became recommendations to be handled by Parliament. Now, today we requested our legal services just to take us through the recommendations from the legal eye, or legal mind, or legal point of view, so that as the committee we know exactly what we need to do. We know what to do, but they must empower us to how to handle some of the issues as portfolio committee of Parliament. And thereafter we'll deal with the fourth quarter from the Department of Communication. So you will only hear issues around SABC from the recommendations, because other people thought SABC would be here as an entity of government. So you will see no SABC except that man who's representing SABC based in Cape Town. So that's what we're going to deal with between now and 1 o'clock. But can I also inform the meeting that we have apologies that we received from the minister. The Minister of Communication has attended a meeting. But let me say to the committee that the PLO must be informed, DJ, that whoever was writing the apology must never say he's attending to other pressing matters, as if this one is not a pressing matter. So I told the secretary to check the person who was writing this, because it's incorrect. The minister will definitely be angry herself if her apology is like this. The second apology is from the deputy minister who's attending the cabinet committee meeting. Very specific. Honorable Tolashe will not be available today. She's admitted. You remember she was not around last week for some days. Nothing much. Not a major problem. It's a day thing, day or two. So that you number two. The other one is the whip, Honorable Kalako, who will join the meeting late. She had to take the wife to the hospital or to the doctor. he had to take the wife, I'm sorry, to the doctor. As usual, he called me about four. Because it's an early bed. Apart from he called me. And even myself, I'm after time. It goes with age. Yeah? So you'll join us later. Honorable Machoba will leave us for a while from the first 11 and come back later, as she's attending a very urgent meeting. So those are the apologies, members, and without wasting time, we'll have to get the acceptance and then go to legal services. Any member, Honorable Kongubela?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Good morning. I propose the acceptance of the apology.
Thank you very much. And the second, Honorable Tseli.
I'm seconding, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Apologies are accepted. We may now proceed to legal services. With your permission, members, can we proceed to legal services? Great. Great. Over to you, ma'am. Introduce yourself and your colleague.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Committee. My name is Advocate Anthea Gordon from Parliament Legal Services. I have with me a colleague, Ms. Pumi Ngema, who is also from Legal Services. And as the Chairperson indicated, our role here this morning is to extract from the report of the Ad Hoc Committee the salient recommendations for the attention of this committee. Pursuant to the work of the Ad Hoc Inquiry, there were certain recommendations which either Parliament or the National Assembly or the Portfolio Committee needed to take further. So the extracts contained in the presentation before the Members Committee, you'll note at different points it may indicate Parliament or the National Assembly or the Portfolio Committee, and the reason for that is because the work would essentially be done by the Portfolio Committee where it is relevant. Just to indicate that the heading on the presentation says Part F, and that would then correspond to Part F of the report of the Ad Hoc Committee, and that's found at page 72 of that report. And so these recommendations highlighted this morning are from page 72 to the end of the report. The presentation this morning only extracts the relevant parts. We have not presented the committee this morning with a further document because, of course, the content to which this presentation speaks is found in the report. So there is no further document supplementing the highlighted bits this morning. I also point out to members that in the presentation you'll find that the numbers are a bit odd. And you'll see on the first page it will say 30.2.1. And the reason for that is because it corresponds to the actual numbering in the report. I've tried not to deviate from the numbering, so it would be easy for members to find the exact parts relevant highlighted in this presentation to correspond to the Ad Hoc Committee report. And so before I commence, there's one recommendation which I have not included in this morning's presentation. And essentially the reason for that is because that recommendation has been complied with, and that is the recommendation relating to the appointment expeditiously of the interim board post the adoption of the report. And so we all know there is an interim board in place at the SABC, and so the recommendation found at 30.1 someone in the report has therefore been complied with and not included in this morning's presentation. 30.2.1, the National Assembly and the Interim Board should investigate the validity of the MOI, the Memorandum of Incorporation, that was signed in October 2014. And that recommendation stems from the fact that during the work of the SABC inquiry, there was much confusion about which Memorandum of Incorporation was indeed the valid one before the committee. And so that was flagged for further work to ascertain what the validity of that document is. 30.2.3 states that Parliament should consider amending the Broadcasting Act and, if necessary, the Companies Act to create legal certainty in respect of which Act prevails in relation to the SABC. And the reason for that recommendation is because during the work of the ad hoc inquiry, there was confusion once again between which Act trumps, the Broadcasting Act or the Companies Act, in respect of the SABC and particularly in the appointment of directors. And so there was much work during that inquiry, and it was found that the Companies Act had been amended subsequent to the Broadcasting Act, and there's a provision in the Companies Act which says the Companies Act trumps, but there's also common law which says the Broadcasting Act trumps, and so those acts should be looked at to now create the legal certainty to insert a provision in law to say the Broadcasting Act trumps Companies Act when it comes to the SABC. City 1, sub 1, 1. The National Assembly should, soon after the appointment of the Interim Board, commence the process to appoint the new SABC Board. And we find ourselves now in a time where we have an Interim Board in place, and it would be prudent for the Portfolio Committee to commence the process to get the SABC Board in place. That will take its reign after the Interim Board. That the National Assembly does not find itself where the life of the Interim Board comes to an end and there is no SABC Board in place. 3316 refers to the funding model of the SABC, and particularly during the phase of the work of the committee, the funding model of the SABC came under scrutiny, particularly in respect of the fact of it being a public broadcaster. I think, if I recall correctly, about 3% of its funding coming from Treasury and the rest from commercial enterprises. And so the ad hoc committee felt that the funding model should be looked at in line with Treasury and perhaps putting in place the exact nature of the fact that the SABC is indeed a public broadcaster. 3411. During the inquiry, there was much discussion also about the oversight function in respect of functions of the SABC, and it was highlighted that going forward, members of Parliament should receive training in respect of particularly ethics, corporate governance, and its legislative oversight role in respect of the SABC. And then that spills over to 3421. Where the NA would be required to conduct more regular and thorough oversight. And that's a direct recommendation from the report, and particularly in respect of the Public Finance Management Act and the Broadcasting Act and other legislation where applicable. 3412. Now, previously indicated during the work of the ad hoc committee, there was much debate about which act trumps in respect of application to the SABC, the Broadcasting or the Companies Act. And that was discussions in respect of the appointment of directors and other matters. But very importantly is the role that the National Assembly plays in relation to the SABC. And this committee may be aware that there is a Broadcasting Amendment Bill before Parliament, which seeks to take away the role of the National Assembly, and so the ad hoc committee recommended at 3431 that the role of the National Assembly in amending the Broadcasting Act should not be weakened. And essentially that means that the National Assembly should hold its role, particularly in the appointment of non-executive directors and other matters such as Section 15, where due process needs to be followed for the removal of directors. 3512, also during the inquiry, there was much discussion about the allegations that employees at the SABC were spied on by Secret Service, the SSA, and there was the recommendation that this must be referred to the Inspector General for investigation to ascertain whether there is truth in the fact that there was this concern that employees were being spied on at the SABC. Then 3911 relates to matters that were before the committee at the interaction of the shareholder representative, the Minister of Communications at the time, and particularly her role in the appointment of Mr. Mutsuming acquiring a permanent position at SABC, various amendments to the memorandum of incorporation, and failure to lodge the MOI with the company's Intellectual and Properties Commission. And so we'll look at the subparagraph on the presentation, which says political interference in the SABC must be condemned. And so that's the context in which it finds itself. And the fuller context would be found at paragraph 39 of that recommendation. And so Parliament must refer any violations of the Constitution, Privileges Act, Ethics Code, Executive Code of Ethics, and the Broadcasting Act to the Ethics Committee and to the Presidency as it is relevant in respect of the shareholder representative. And then also at 42.1, it relates to the editorial policies of the SABC. And while editorial policies fall squarely within the operations of the SABC, the ad hoc inquiry recommended that the portfolio committee should monitor the interim board's progress in getting public confidence restored at the SABC through editorial policies. So in that respect, the interim board has to report to this committee on progress in that regard. Section 41 relates to the giving of evidence before the inquiry, and particular evidence that was contradictory or misleading in nature, and the ad hoc report recommended that any breaches of the Powers and Privileges Act in this regard should be looked at. And particularly legal services was in Parliament, was given a mandate to within 60 days from the date when the report was adopted, and if I remember correctly, I think that was the 7th of March, and that will bring us to the 5th of June for that 60 days, which have been calculated according to working days, to look at whether any of the witnesses or anybody who gave documents to the inquiry, whether they then provided contradictory or misleading evidence to the inquiry. Recommendation 42 relates to the costs which were incurred or as a result of defending the application by the chairperson of the SABC board, Professor Maguve, to attempt to interdict the work of the ad hoc committee. And that was an application brought before the Western Cape High Court on the 2nd of December, which the judge dismissed with costs. And so the recommendation at 42.1.1 relates to the fact that Parliament should recover those costs from the SABC board chairperson in his personal capacity. And the reason for that is at the time when that application was brought, there was no SABC board to have authorised that that application be brought before court. And then there was also another issue before the ad hoc committee relating to the attorneys who were advising the chairperson of the board at that time, Professor Van Hoeve, and Amos Caldenus, who presented evidence in respect in a position as company secretary, documents that were summoned by Parliament. And so the issue was that it was much to and froing about whether documents could be given to Parliament, and the attorneys had written to Parliament or to the inquiry to say the documents were commercially sensitive, and during the work of the inquiry it was established that the documents were not commercially sensitive and that they could have been presented to Parliament. And so the ad hoc committee recommended that the firm of attorneys possibly be referred to the appropriate law society for investigation of its conduct in relation to how it interacted with the inquiry at that stage. Chairperson, thank you. Those are all the recommendations contained in the SABC ad hoc inquiry report. That particularly relates to Parliament, the National Assembly, or the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, ma'am. Members, that's the explanation from our legal services. She's pointing to a number of issues that we need to follow, maybe even if it's not paged, we can refer to the paragraph. There are paragraphs 30 point this, 30 point that, so that if you have something on a particular page, you then refer to that. Honorable Kungbet.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I think one must appreciate this effort. It's very useful. But there are two issues I wanted to raise. The one is just on this company Act and SABC. I'm still not clear, but Ngeman, I don't know, Ms. Ben. Order. I worked underground.
When are you introducing yourself? There are contacts in both of them. So I'm speaking the truth. Nothing but the truth.
All right. Thank you. I just want your assistance on this SABC board, SABC Act and Company Act. My worry is to treat SABC Act different from other acts, which generally would be subordinate to the Company Act. Is it not articulated in the Company Act as a direction in case any other acts of a particular institution clashes? What is supposed to happen? I'm talking about why is it necessary to look at amending because of that confusion? If you can clarify that. Because one would have anticipated that Company Act would have said any other institutional act that finds itself in contravention, the Company Act would prevail. Unless Company Act doesn't have that, if you can assist just in that to help clarify. The other issue is just administrative, Chair. I think this is a very useful presentation because you remember we were saying the other committee gave a report like you have reported here to Parliament. We know common sense tells us that's our work, but in terms of established procedures, is it our work in one way or another? I think that was important. But for administrative purposes, I just wanted to ask our team whether it's legal or whoever is relevant to do a matrix that says, yeah, there's recommendations that refer to us as Parliament. This recommendation who is responsible. There are already time, there is one or two that have got time frames already. There's something that must be done within 60 days, like of dealing with people who could have misled the parliament. But I think for efficiency purposes, we also need to commit to time frames ourselves in terms of dealing with these issues. They don't just become victims like all other recommendations that's brought in our books. In other words, ask administrators to put a matrix where there are no time frame proposed to the committee, and then we endorse that so that we follow that matrix in the manner it is. That's my proposal.
Madisha, and then Honorable Sidi. So all of us are going to speak. Remember, there is the Broadcasting Act, and there is an amendment that is sitting with the committee. We are going to deal with. We must deal with that thing very urgently. And I think the question was the difference. Not necessarily the difference, the Broadcasting Act and the Companies Act. I think that was the area that Kongbele wanted to check. And I think it's very relevant that we must deal with that. Up front, you recall that there was a pile of documents that were referred to in the ad hoc committee. The MOI, this document, that document, the ad hoc committee said bring. And we're combining those documents, Honorable Kongbele, so that we understand exactly what's, because we were watching the ad hoc committee and these documents were referred to. And then we need to just to look at them. So members will get those packages pretty soon, so that when we go through these things, we have those documents, including dealing with this amendment act, because it worries me. It was April 2016, and it's now May. So we'll have to deal with that, so that it's out of our desk as soon as possible. Honorable Van Dam.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah. Just on the conflict between the Broadcasting Act and the Companies Act, as I recall, during the ad hoc committee, the matter was resolved that the Broadcasting Act actually governs the SABC, because there was a conflict between the procedures for the removal of board members. So that was resolved. It's the Broadcasting Act that we should rely on primarily on SABC matters. But I think what the thinking was about amending the legislation was to make that explicit, so that confusion doesn't happen again. So it's explicit that it's the Broadcasting Act, but of course the Companies Act may be relied on, but the Broadcasting Act is the primary legislation. And then I think it was also a bit of a weakness in the drafting of the recommendations, where it refers to National Assembly, Parliament, and Portfolio Committee, because it's a bit confusing. Because sometimes when it says Parliament, it's actually referring to the Speaker's office. So I think that we need to clarify for ourselves to be sure which of those recommendations apply specifically to the Portfolio Committee, which to the National Assembly. So, you know, when we've taken a decision, then we take it to the National Assembly, and then which applies to the Speaker's office. That being said, the recommendation pertaining to yourself as legal services, 41.11 and 41.12, you were given 60 days, and you say the 60 days expire in a week to investigate who misled or gave contradictory evidence to the committee, to the ad hoc committee, with the view of laying criminal charges or referring them to the ethics committee or referring them to the public protector. With a week to go, how far are you with those investigations? Which individuals have you identified that could have misled the committee? And how far are you with those investigations?
I'm not sure if you're able to respond to this. There is this report from, you have, in the ad hoc committee, we had the advocate Banara who was given a task to deal with all these matters. Maybe they can say whatever they want to say, but there is advocate Banara who was supposed to deal with all these matters.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to introduce my new sign language interpreter, Dalphin Sungwani. Dalphin Sungwani. Okay, thank you. I would like to add to what my colleague mentioned, the Companies Act versus the Broadcasting Act. Did you also mention common law? I'm curious, you know, how would common law fit into these other two laws that have been mentioned? If you could clarify that, please. And the interim board, when does their term end? Do you know, what's the exact date? I know it's 6 months, but what is the exact date? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Van Dijk.
On 35.1.2, during our committee oversight in Gauteng, the staff complained about the officers that were being bucked and also the phone calls. And I just want to know what steps can a committee take to ensure that the recommendation in 35.1.2 is implemented. And then also on 44.1.1, I also just want to add, in the event where the committee can prove that it was misled with the validity of the MOI, what steps can it take against the former minister?
MOI is MOI? Honorable Machoba.
My chair is to seeking a clarity in the issue of under a recommendation of 33.1.6. What it means to review the funding model of the SABC. I just need a clarity on that because to under the recommendation 33.16. In the issue of e-Parliament, along with the National Treasury, should review the funding model of SABC. I just need to clarify what it means, because what I know is SABC is bankrupt, but I need more clarity about this act, about the funding of the review funding of SABC. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mandisha.
Thank you, Chairperson. Albeit one came a few minutes later after you had started, and one must apologize because there was a problem at the gate. Let me indicate that I had gone through the report, and I must say that the people who came up with this, they've done their work. And basically, one would say that the main thing that has got to be done is to go through the administration, the implementation of the whole thing. It is very clear in my own understanding. It is very clear, the issue of implementation, and therefore, that which needs to be done urgently are the areas that we have got to look into. For example, the spying issue, and that is a wrong. We can't allow that. As this present government, you know, that's 35.1.2, where you have people being spied, the employers, the employees, at in the way that it is said, whatever is being done, truly, that is is very much wrong. Now, the other thing, like I'm saying, Chairperson, is actually administration now, after they have gone through the very good work that they've looked into. 42.1.5. This one will say, we now have to actualize this thing of the usage, wrong usage of the money of SABC. The chairperson simply taking us to courts, etc., etc. We now have got to say, how does the people of South Africa, how do the people of South Africa get back that which belongs to them? Because it is wrong, one wishes to emphasize, that the way in which the monies were taken by those particular individuals to do whatever they did is wrong. But I want to emphasize, my chairperson, that 35.1.2 is extremely urgent, and it is in our hands that we do that as a matter of agency. Point 40.2.1, the issue of public confidence. It too is extremely important. I mean, we all know that it is as a sequel to that which SABC has been doing, that people have now moved and are concentrating, they are watching, they are following, you know, other news and or programs in other TV stations, on other media, etc. And therefore, what we need to do is to ensure that the administrative part that you spoke about gets actualized as a matter of agency, making sure that public opinion is returned. And how do we do that? Going back to make sure that there is implementation of this particular resolution, starting with us, of course, ensuring as the legal advisors there propose that we ourselves as the portfolio committee have got to understand 100% that which has got to be done with that particular SABC, our public broadcaster. Thank you.
Thank you much, Madam Secretary. It's your turn.
Chair, I appreciate as well the work that has been done on the side of the legal services colleagues in terms of the work that they've done so far. My take, Chairperson, is that at the strategic planning session, there was a process that we agreed upon that talks to some of the issues before us. And the approach that we adopted was that we might need an implementation plan in terms of how I'm going to attend some of these things, of course, attaching time frame in relation to some of these recommendations to ensure that we move with speed as we implement some of these things. So I'm starting on that note on the basis that some of the issues that were raised might not necessarily belong to this process, might be belong to the other process that we agreed upon and the strategic planning session. The second one, Chair, it's in relation to 34.2.2 that talks to oversight by Parliament over the SABC. And my take is that there is a very thin layer between parliamentary oversight and the SABC board oversight. And if we were to have a very strong board at the SABC that continuously does oversight and ensure that things happen as they're supposed to, obviously there will be less work that's supposed to be handled at our side. So all I'm saying is I'm just stressing the need for the SABC board to assist in that regard. My colleagues earlier spoke about the witnesses, those who might have misled Parliament. I think it is in terms of I don't remember which recommendation is it, whether legal services has so far identified people who might have misled Parliament in the process of the ad hoc committee investigations, if that has been done. But 42.2, that's 41.1.2. I thought by now legal services would then go further and say, in the process of us doing our work, this is how far we have moved in that particular area. I'm referring to that 41.1.2. The assistance of evidence leader, identifying persons who misled inquiry on or provided false information or false testimony with the aim of criminal charges being laid, and this should be done within 60 days from the date the report was adopted. The reason why I'm going back to this one is that to me, much work needs to be done on our side than parliamentary portfolio committee level. If you can just talk to that one as well. I think my colleague has raised it again. The last one, Chair, which is very, very critical, is the issue that we spoke about while we are adopting, or in the process of adopting the budget report of the department. That issue talks to court cases that go to, that are either initiated by ourselves or us defending. There has been a view which says, can't we come up with a mechanism, or can it be a standard practice that we satisfy ourselves, be it at the level of the department and all the entities, and this time around I'm not necessarily referring to the SABC, that we only allow cases to go to court only when we are sure that such cases are winnable. And other colleagues were saying, perhaps let's start by an audit of some sort in terms of cases that have gone to court, those that we have won, those that we have lost so far. Maybe starting with, say, two financial years and take it from there. But our view has been, can it be a standard practice of some sort that we don't allow a case to go to reach court level until we have satisfied ourselves that a case is winnable? Because there are instances where cases go to court, we end up losing. There are quite resources involved here. Resources that are supposed to be assisting us to ensure that our people then in villages where some of us come from get the necessary services. And at the end of the day, we lose such cases. What then happens? Because we must adopt an attitude which says we must utilize some of these monies as if these are my own monies. In other instances, can I pursue a case in court when I know that I'm likely to lose a case if I were to use my own resources? Surely I can't. So I'm saying maybe it should be a standard practice. I'm happy because the team DG is here. Be it at the level of the department and at the level of the entities, all of us, including the SABC, that we satisfy ourselves that as we defend cases or we take some of these cases to court, we must make sure that we are not likely to misuse the resources unnecessarily so. Thanks.
Thank you very much. A lot of questions, but I'll respond to some. The first easy question that I must respond to, because I know, the President signed the letter of appointment of interim board on the 27th of March, and then it goes for 6 months. Look around the 27th of September, around there, because that's when the President signed the letter. But also we have started the process of advertisement. Yes, the process. And the adverts are coming out on over this weekend for the interim, for the full board. So that process is it's moving. So that as they finish their term, we appoint the full board. So that's one question. The other one would be on these issues of, I think it's the last point, on this SSA, they will add, but I think the process from the Chairperson's Office Portfolio Committee will be to, surely the Inspector General will have to be requested to come and so that we listen to him, because he or she is in charge of this area. So that's one thing. The last one would be other matters that we've spoken about are related to what the evidence leader, Advocate Fanani, must come and explain to us as they did. Again, the road fight is going through the Chairperson's Office. We'll do that, arrange that, so that we can get all these things from Banara that they cannot respond to, if they cannot. So I thought the process of Banara would be very, very helpful, because he was, together with the ad hoc committee, he was hands-on on some of the matters. But they will respond on your questions, members. Don't panic. I'm not raising all the matters, but I raise what I think must be done from the point of view of the office of the chair. Over to you, Ms. Gordon.
Thank you, Chairperson. Indeed, there were a lot of questions. The first issue I addressed is the interplay between the Broadcasting Act and the Companies Act. The one question was, is there not a provision in the Companies Act that says a trump in respect of application as concerned to the Broadcasting Act? Indeed, there is a provision in the Companies Act that says the Companies Act applies when there's conflict between the Companies Act and another piece of legislation. It doesn't particularly mention the Broadcasting Act. But I think Honourable Vandam is correct when she says the issue that was before the inquiry was that the Broadcasting Act is specific in its application to the SSC, the appointment of non-executive directors, the due process followed by the National Assembly in removing non-executive directors. And what the amendments to the MRI sought to do was to remove the role of the National Assembly and to place that squarely under the parameters and provisions of the Companies Act, which means it would essentially render the National Assembly of no force and effect when it comes to oversight and other roles it needs to fulfill in respect of a public broadcaster. And so during that process, the inquiry indicated that it cannot be that the Companies Act trumps. The Broadcasting Act trumps, and for that reason, there needs to be a provision inserted in the Broadcasting Act to say that the Companies Act, when it comes to non-executive directors and the role of the National Assembly, that role cannot be taken away. On matters where the Broadcasting Act is silent and issues are covered in the Companies Act, then the Companies Act will apply. But purely in respect of the legislative oversight function on a public broadcaster, it cannot be that the role of the National Assembly is removed. And that was the issue that was raised. If I just further on that question, one of the members asked about the common law issues that was raised. In the report by the ad hoc committee from pages 12 to 15, the legal view is set out with all the common law that is raised, the interplay between the Companies Act and the Broadcasting Act. It sets out the common law principles that were before the ad hoc committee. So between pages 12 and 15, that is set out in the report. It is number 4, which refers to regulatory framework, where that interplay is set out in full. Sorry, I just need to find the issue, Chairperson. I'm just following on the notes relating to legal services and identifying possible witnesses who misled or gave contradictory advice. Of course, the recommendation says parliamentary legal services, but it says in assistance with the evidence leader. And so, Chairperson, in that regard, you are correct, but that process is underway. We're not in a position to give names and further details, but administratively from our side, through the evidence leader, that process is underway. I'd also just like to highlight the fact that that role is not designed to investigate. The recommendation says identify. It's whatever, whomever has been identified following on that process, there would then be, because that provision says, with the aim of criminal charges. Now, if that is the case, then you would look at your next line after an identification process being your national prosecuting authority. Because the only thing that can come out of that recommendation is what was before the ad hoc inquiry. If any further investigations of persons so identified would be within the jurisdiction of the next leg, which would be the prosecuting authority. So that question came up. I just want you to clarify versus not legal services' role to investigate. It was merely to identify what was before the committee at that time, but as Chairperson correctly indicated, that's for the evidence leader, because that's the weighing up evidence. And Chairperson, there was also a question in respect of the SSA and the spine and what can this committee possibly do. I think, Chairperson, you captured that correctly, that of course it's in this committee's domain to write to the Inspector General to say that this recommendation has come in light of the work of the ad hoc committee, and then possibly invite the Inspector General as a starting point or however the committee wishes. But that process needs to be taken further, as I'm not sure if it has at this stage, but that is obviously a recommendation that needs to be taken further with the Inspector General. Then there was a question in respect of the Minister and what steps, particularly in respect of the memorandum of the MOI, and what steps can then be taken further. Of course, we would look at the reality of a minister being accountable to the president, also the member of parliament, and for that regard it can only be in terms of the Privileges Act, a referral to the Privileges Committee, and that recommendation essentially says that. Of course, the body or the further information in the recommendation indicated that the ad hoc committee was saying to the president that the Minister of Communications at that time should be considered to be looked at whether she should hold that portfolio. And I should also formally inform this committee that subsequent to those processes, the minister, the former Minister of Communications, has issued a case in the Western Cape High Court against that recommendation, and so that particular issue is being dealt with. It is before the Western Cape High Court at this point in time, and so further details in that regard will unfold as processes become further known and any further developments for this committee's attention. But that's where we stand in respect of that recommendation currently. Then also, the issue of...
Sorry, can you repeat that? It looks like she didn't hear. Can you repeat?
If that could be clarified with the jury's wife. I mean, has the minister gone to court to say that we, I'm saying we, right, must clarify that particular point? It means she has taken parliament to court. That is exactly what I want to understand.
Can you clarify that further?
Thank you, Chair. Indeed, the application before the Western Cape High Court is brought by the Minister of Communications at that time, Minister Faith Matambi. The Speaker of the National Assembly has been cited, including Mr. Smith, who chaired the ad hoc committee. The case is specific to not the overall work of the SABC ad hoc committee's work, but particularly the recommendations that relate to the Minister of Communications. The notice of motion says that the National Assembly and by extension the ad hoc committee was not competent to make a recommendation to the President as it was beyond the terms of reference extended to the SABC ad hoc inquiry. Chairperson, if I can at this point not go further into the issue, as it is a notice of motion that we are attending to, and that, like I indicated, we will obviously inform the committee of the subject as processes unfold. But it is an open court case in the Western Cape High Court.
Very much on that.
Sorry, Chief, I could just add something on that. The application was signed before the cabinet reshuffle. This March, it was before the cabinet reshuffle.
Okay.
So, was it in her capacity as the then Minister of Communications, not in her personal capacity?
The chairperson, the notice of motion is signed by the Minister of Communications prior to 30 March. As Minister Faith Matambi, Minister of Communications.
It's signed by the then Minister of Communications on her capacity as the minister. That's what is clear. If it was on personal capacity, it will be a different one. Because if it's signed by the minister, then it means as the Minister of Communications at that time. Okay.
Legally, I'm just going through this in my head. If she had submitted the notice as Minister of Communications, the costs would then be covered by the Ministry of Communications. What does it mean now that she's no longer the Minister of Communications?
will this still then be pursued by the department or the ministry under which the notice was tabled, or will it be moved to a different department? Who covers the cost? Does the Department of Communication still cover costs if that person is no longer the minister? And then what, I suppose this is a question that the DG can answer. What is the view of the now Minister of Communications? Will this matter still be pursued under the Department of Communications?
The legal advisor can answer that. That's a question for the department, I think. The department can respond to that question. I don't think this is before the court, and I don't think it would be proper for legal services to respond to that. I don't know the department is the one to respond. Honorable Kunga?
I think to a certain degree, Chair, you've covered me, because what I wanted to say, one, the issue of cost would not have been before the ad hoc, because that issue occurred after the recommendations. That's the first point. So there's no way that the ad hoc would have dealt with that. And then two, that it's a matter I support if you, let's say, leave it with the court and explain why. Because that recommendation does not deal with her purely in her capacity as just as a Minister of Communication. It also deals with her personal competence. So it's not as simple as purely in your capacity. It's not a matter that any Minister of Communication would have done. Because it was dealing with her personal competence. So that I would request that maybe leaving it with the court, it's a better place we leave it there. But the issue of cost would not have been before the network, because it occurred after.
Okay. I think the members agree that let's not end on that terrain. That's legal services. Other questions?
Thank you, Chair. Going on to the issue of public funding, that the funding model should be looked at. Surely that's a role for the portfolio committee. And I particularly recall the issue there was the percentage of funding. What FOBC received from National Treasury versus the money that it received from commercial enterprises, and whether or not that disparity between percentages is how a public broadcaster should be funded. So I think that's, those are issues that the committee needs to take forward as part of its oversight and budgetary functions. The SABC court processes, one of the honourable members indicated that there should be an order to see whether court cases indeed can be won before money is spent. And if I can just extend that to the application, the interdict of the SABC inquiry, which went in Parliament's favour against the chairperson of the SABC board. And particularly on that occasion, Judge Desai inquired as to who had mandated the chairperson to bring the application, because at that time of December 2016, there was no correct board to give an instruction to go to court. And so for that basis, costs were ordered against the chairperson of the board at that stage, Professor Magure. On that note, Chair, from legal services from our side, we have instructed the Office of the State Attorney to process collections in that regard, to commence the process to recover those costs that we had to incur to brief senior counsel to appear in Western Cape High Court on that Friday to defend that application. So that process is underway administratively from legal services. I think that's about it, Chair. I hope I haven't missed anything, but I think...
Are you done? Honourable Kumbela, was there...
Mefro Gordon.
Are you done with your consultation? Lawyers like to consult.
I just wanted to help me grow a bit on the question yourself and Honourable Fandam dealt with, which I raised. I'm not sure if either I didn't understand your responses or I have not been understood what I'm asking. But I think the first answer you said, indeed there's a provision in the Companies Act that anyone, any other institutional, I can never use institutional, didn't use the companies could. Institution to me would mean also company for the purpose of this question. That clashes with the Companies Act, Companies Act would prevail. Now you come and say it was clarified that for the purpose of oversight it can apply. My worry, that's why I want you to assist me, is that it to me there is a risk of inconsistency in the Companies Act application, in the sense that would it not be better the amendment goes to Companies Act to say, because my understanding is that there are generic principles where Companies Act enjoins all companies that are established to follow. Now, if there's a specific generic principle that will not apply for the purpose of oversight, is it not the Company Act which is supposed to say this principle applies to all companies except that be articulated in the Companies Act? Because my worry, if it's just articulated in the Act as it applies to SABC board, would it not effect some consistency in the application of the Companies Act? It's just for my clarity, I'm not questioning, I'm not disagreeing with anything. I just want to have a clear mind in understanding how the principal act applies.
Now I was checking if they do have the Broadcasting Act. Okay. So that, because there is something about the question there. On the same question.
Not on the same question.
Let's deal with that first, so that we're all on the same wavelength.
If I understand the member correctly, I think the question turns on legislative design. There is nothing wrong in having both pieces of legislation, Companies and Broadcasting Act, indicating specifically what applies. If we go with a member scenario where the Companies Act applies to all companies, the Broadcasting Act falls under the Companies Act with just blanket provision. It would mean that our non-executive directors of the SABC would be appointed in terms of provisions of the Companies Act. It would mean that the shareholder appoints, which would then be the shareholder representative, the minister. It would remove Parliament's role completely. And so the ad hoc committee was of the opinion that that position cannot be. Now, if we look at the memorandum of incorporation that was before the committee, the Minister of Communications at that time had I think it comes from a previous minister, where the recommendations were in the MOI to align it to the Companies Act. It didn't make provision for the role of the National Assembly. But the intention was always that the Broadcasting Act is what governs the public broadcaster. And so the ad hoc committee was of the opinion that we cannot have a public broadcaster where the provisions of the Companies Act apply squarely, which means the shareholder representative determines who the non-executive directors of the SABC is. It means this committee, or any committee of Parliament, would serve no purpose. And that was what has been happening on the last while, that the former Minister of Communications was attempting through processes to align that corporate governance structure. But through deliberations of the work of the ad hoc committee, it was decided that Parliament stands by the view that the Broadcasting Act is the one that applies to the broadcasting, to the public broadcaster. That provisions in the Companies Act in relation to the public broadcaster should be secondary. So to answer the member, I see nothing wrong with stating in the Companies Act that these provisions do not apply to the broadcast, to the SABC. I see nothing wrong in similarly in the Broadcasting Act to say these provisions apply, notwithstanding what is said in the Companies Act. Both pieces of legislation can state that clearly to eliminate any confusion. And that is essentially what the recommendation says. Certainty needs to be created that the next committee of Parliament, picking up the Broadcasting Act and the Companies Act, will know exactly where they are in respect of which legislation to apply.
The matter is closed. That one is closed. Because the amendment bill will come to us for further discussion. So we'll have to interrogate these amendments when that time comes. We'll deal with it at that time. Agree with them, you can't take away the responsibility of Parliament. Honourable State, on a different matter, and Honourable Fandam on a different matter. And remember, by 11 o'clock we must close this debate on this one, because we have a fourth quarter. That we'll have to deal with up to 1 o'clock.
Thank you, I'll be very brief. It's on the very last issue. The issue that I think you tried to clarify this particular matter twice. It's on the MOI, Memorandum of Incorporation, 80.2.1. For Parliament to sufficiently investigate the validity of that MOI, legal services should be of assistance here. Because I thought you would even go further to say, as you investigate this particular aspect of the memorandum that was signed in October 2014, we have looked at this one vis-a-vis the other one. And in our understanding, this is the one that we think is valid. And I don't see you going that route, which is supposed to be assisting us to take the matter further. Because we can't start to investigate that particular issue until you have said to us, from your understanding in terms of how these matters are handled, which one becomes valid, so that we are then able to sufficiently close this matter once and for all. I don't see you. I don't see you coming up with that kind of a guidance for us to take an informed decision around this particular matter.
This is the second and the last question.
Thanks, Chair. I'm going to be very pedantic about this because I think it's extremely important, and it's probably the most politically difficult. But it has to be done, and we cannot stumble at the final hurdle. I think it's a little bit disingenuous to defer to Advocate Vanaya, who is not here. It says in the recommendation that Parliament's legal services with assistance of Advocate Vanaya, but the primary responsibility is with legal services, and Advocate Vanaya will assist with the information. The identification of the people who misled the committee, I think we discussed that openly. I don't think it's a secret that there were several people who gave contradictory evidence. It was the Minister of Communications, Faith Mutambi, it was Ben Gubane, it was Mbole Maguve, it was several people. So I don't think the identification is a top secret matter and we cannot reveal who those people are. It's in the open. But I appreciate that your investigation is an investigation because what Advocate Vanaya and yourself were required to do was to go look at the two different evidence that was given and then, make a determination of who it was that misled the committee. So it is an investigation. But I appreciate that it's still taking place. It's still within your 60 days. What happens on the 5th of March? Do you table a report to us as a committee and say, we've now conducted our investigation. These are the people we believe charges should be laid against, or will you go down to the police station and lay the charges? What's the process on the 5th of June?
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. First question on the MOI. I think during the process of the ad hoc committee, there was a lot of debate about which MOI was the one that was
to be used and correct and implemented. And what had happened during that process was that the companies, CPIC, Companies Intellectual Properties Commission, where all documents are required to be lodged in respect of the company, was approached to ascertain which document they had on file. And during that process is where legal services assisted. And we ran our background checks and we assisted the committee to ascertain that the MOI that was lodged with CPIC was the one signed by Minister Karim. And that is why this recommendation flows on from that work. As legal services, we were unable to get further information from the SABC board at that, or the non-functional board at that time. The thinking was that when the interim board comes into existence, the members of the board would have access to documents and would then be able to ascertain what MOI the SABC is operating in terms of. That is why the recommendation at 32.1 states the National Assembly and the interim board should investigate. And it was really because the interim board was at the front door of the SABC and they could then get access to documents which we were unable to get during the phase of the ad hoc inquiry. And so that is why it is now beyond legal services, because we went as far as we could and it's now placed in the hands of people who could access that information, to answer the member chairperson through on that point. The second issue on the rules of Dunn on the recommendation in respect of parliamentary services. Indeed, Chairperson, the member is correct. The recommendation does say parliamentary legal services with the assistance of the evidence leader, but Chairperson also taking into account the delineated roles during the ad hoc inquiry. Legal services was in an advisory capacity due to support work, all our subpoenas, summonses, and all those which we took care of, and the evidence leader took care of the analysis of evidence. So clearly there were identified roles, and that is why the recommendation is phrased the way it is. The evidence leader, who essentially was a legal advisor, would then be compiling, and that's why it says with the assistance of legal services. But essentially, I think what is anticipated is that come the 5th of June, there would be this report from the Chief Parliamentary Legal Advisor to possibly the chairperson or a House chairperson or the Speaker on this issue. And it would then take place to whatever processes as this committee and the Assembly decides forward. Chairperson, with respect and permission with respect, I do not think that the way forward on this particular issue, when that report is in, that it is for legal services to decide the process. I think ours is to do that identification, and then for the further structures of Parliament to make decisions on that point. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. And thanks to the legal services for the report. Two people that will as the committee would like to call to the meeting in relation to the recommendations. The evidence leader, Honorable Fanara, but also the Minister of Communication, will be advisable for us to deal with her on the issues of MOI, because she is there and the interim board is there. So when we meet the department again, we'll have to deal with those matters with the minister. But as for the legal services, evidence leader will have to provide a lot of information to the committee. And that will flow into the implementation plan that Honorable Kumbe was talking about earlier. So that we know where we are in terms of the recommendations. And I must say, I think we've taken a little bit of time before implementing the recommendations of the ad hoc committee. Yes, we have done in terms of what we can. We have met the interim board on because there is one recommendation there, and we have engaged them. So we'll have to call them from time to time so that we monitor that implementation of the recommendations of the Parliament. Thank you very much, Legal Services, and you may be released. And I must say, members, I think the information was very useful, both from their presentation and from your engagement. It opens the mind and everything else. Members can go, grab tea, come back, 5 minutes break, so that we also allow them to pack and go, and then we'll come back for the, at 12, we'll come back for the fourth quarter. At 11, sorry. At 11. It's 5 to 11 now. At 11, we'll come back and start. Thank you very much, Mr. Thank you.
Thank you. Everything.
Honourable members, can you settle down? We agreed we are coming back at 11. So that by 1 o'clock we are out of this committee room. I am told that we were given a presentation. And now midnight. No, they said midnight. There was another one. So the DG, acting DG, when she speaks, she must start there. So that she tells us if there are no fundamental changes. Because if there are fundamental changes, in your presentation, we'll have to adopt a motion. We'll have to adopt a motion for those changes. That's on a lighter note, but there is a new presentation, I'm told, than what we received much earlier. Over to you, DG. You will start explaining properly where the minister is. We know the deputy, but your minister's head of work said the minister is a pressing matter. To attend. The reason why I was raising it earlier was for you through your staff to check exactly where the minister is, because it leaves some kind of bitter taste, if you like, if there are other certain issues. We need specific as to where the minister is. Just to draw this pressing matter thing. Over to you, Acting DG.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. I have noted the concern about the letter from the minister around the minister has got other pressing matters, and from where we're sitting, I think it's a capacity matter and understanding, because of most of the staff in both offices of the minister and the DM are very new and they've not operated. So I'll take it upon myself, you know, to ensure that in the near future the state where exactly the minister is and the content should not be offensive, you know, to the committee. The minister is attending cabinet committees today, and that's why I said that maybe it's an understanding or misunderstanding of what is the role of this particular committee, which I'll take it upon myself, you know, to engage staff members in the ministry in general on how to deal with such matters. And I'll also share that with the minister, that in future, you know, such letters should be written appropriately. And if possible, if the minister is delegated, I'll request that, you know, that letter goes through me so that, you know, we check on the content. Honourable members, the presentation has not changed substantially, just cosmetic and minor changes. When you look at the first presentation, for instance, it did not have a date as to when this presentation is going to be made. And there was a slide that talks about employment equity, that we just changed the wording there as to, you know, when you look at the previous presentation, it had the same information, but it was presented differently. So in the first presentation, the percentages were in brackets and the numbers were not in brackets. So we changed it and simplified the sentences. And there was also, when you look at that slide, that is slide 12, the changes have been made on that bullet that talks to the training programs. It was just to create the specificity as to where, what are these training programs that have been conducted, so that, you know, the committee understands, because previously during the strat plan and in our MPP, we indicated that we did not have money, you know, for workplace skills plan. So we thought of that is very, very important that we state that. And again, on the financials, there was just a bullet that was repeating on the allocations of goods and services after the budget adjustment. So I just removed that sentence because it was just, if I may call it, you know, a repetition. So those were the minor changes that I've made to the presentation.
Okay, go ahead. I think there are no fundamental changes. Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Members. I'm accompanied by Ms. Matope Tufi, who's the Chief Director for Corporate Services. The Chief Financial Officer could not be with me and the other colleagues as we're preparing for the Audit and Risk Committee for...
here is another thing to convey. It's a bit administrative. It's issues that I'm not dealing with your office. as you talk to the new staff, especially those from the minister's office, there was a little bit of confusion from his side that the fourth quarter's report is, or presentation, is not ready and all of that. And therefore, you request that the meeting, the item be postponed and all of those things. I think you need to deal with such issues, although I've dealt with them when they came to me. Please, if you can, because sometimes staff under yourselves can run with things without bouncing and all of that. So just organize them properly so that there is no confusion. If I didn't get that yesterday and fix it, I don't know what will happen. Because it was only yesterday when I received this thing of you won't be there, you won't be here. Somebody else will be here and then there will be no report and all of that. So just fix all those things before the day of the meeting. In case I don't raise them with you, I must raise it here. Okay, proceed.
thank you. I was indicating previously that Chairperson, to note that the CFO and finance team could not be with us as we prepare for the, you know, the annual financial statements for ourselves and the entities, and for the presentation tomorrow to the Audit and Risk Committee. Our presentation will focus on the strategic goals, strategic objectives, the overall performance of the department, the financial performance, and then the conclusion. We are presenting, you know, the 2016 fourth quarter performance report, which is in line with the constitution, that is in particular section 195, that guides the performance management of the department. As you are aware that, you know, this slide is not new, is we have set ourselves the following strategic goals, which is the first one, effective and efficient strategic leadership, governance and administration, a responsive communications policy and regulatory environment, improved government communication and country branding, and the transformed communications sector. The slide shows the strategic objectives that we have also set ourselves, that is to ensure compliance with statutory requirements and good government practices, improve the capacity of our entities to deliver on their mandate, ensure the viability and sustainability of our SOEs, to improve universal access to broadcasting services, as well as managing the digital broadcasting migration by 2019. We'll continue, you know, to ensure equitable allocation of spectrum to the public, private and community players, broaden access to information by all citizens, and market our country locally, regionally and internationally to provide an enabling environment for investment. Will also support the growth and development of the creative industries and strengthen the support, guidance and interrelations with stakeholders. Honourable members, the actual performance for the last quarter, that is the first quarter of the financial year, per program, overall we had 22 planned objectives, and we have achieved 15. And then this slide shows the program. That is, in program one, we planned 6, and we have achieved only 5, and we are sitting at 83%. With regards to program two, which is communications policy, research and development, we planned for the quarter 6 objectives, and we have achieved only 3, and we are sitting at 50%. Program 3, that is industry and capacity development, we had planned to achieve in this quarter 6 objectives, and we only achieved 5, and we are sitting at 83%. And the last program, which is entity oversight, we've only achieved 50% of our objectives, and we had 4 and only achieved 2. 2 have not been achieved. So this slide summarizes, you know, the overall performance as we are sitting in the fourth quarter at 68%. This is just a graph that's showing, you know, the performance, you know, per program as I've stipulated in the previous slide. And this is the pie chart that also shows how far we're fed as per the slide that we showed previously. In program one, honorable members, that's on the strategic objective that deals with strategic leadership, governance and administration, that is administration in its entirety. As you are aware, and we've stated this before, the GCIS officials continue to provide IT, internal audit, supply chain and support services to the department, and the department had 90 funded posts. Of the 90 funded posts, 76 have been filled and 14 are vacant. In terms of employment equity, at SMS level, we've got 42% of the positions occupied by females and 58%, that is 13 of them occupied by males. And with regards to representation of people with disabilities, we are sitting at 2.6%. This is the line that I spoke about earlier, that, you know, we have also conducted training programs, or we have sent our employees for training as per the workplace skills plan, but only those programs that are funded by government, that, you know, we did not need to pay for them. That is the IT system that is responsible for PESAL, BUS, and the logis. So we have complied minimally as far as the workplace skills plan is concerned. We have also conducted internal audit projects, and progress has been submitted to the audit and risk committees. And we have also, you know, compiled reports on contracts, memorandum of understanding, legal instruments, and litigations that the department managed during the period under review. On legal, on this last line, it talks to legal services. So on legal services, the GCIS depends on the DOC. With regards to administration, we have compiled financial statements which we have submitted to the National Treasury in line with Section 40 of the PFMA. Of the invoices that we have received, we have processed and paid 99% within 30 days, and 96 of the requisitions that were converted to orders within 48 hours. And we have also submitted our third and fourth quarter performance reports to National Treasury and the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation in line with legislation. We have also presented our 2017 and 18 APP, which was also tabled before this committee. With regards to Program 2, which is our core program, in this particular quarter, we focused on consolidating inputs towards the white paper on audiovisual. We have since done that. We'll be briefing the minister accordingly, and we do not even have challenges. With regards to the ICASA amendment bill, we are supposed to submit this bill to to the president. However, due to the recent developments on the ICT integrated white paper, which has been developed by the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services, we have put it in abeyance as we'll be engaging, you know, the DTPS to ensure that, you know, there is no conflict in the two pieces of legislation. So we hope to finalize it, you know, in the current financial year, that is the 17-18 financial year. So in essence, we did not achieve this objective. With regards to the MDDA, in terms of the amending of the Act, we're supposed to consolidate input and presentation of the paper to Cabinet and publish the Green Paper. This process has not been finalized as we are waiting, you know, the other input on the Broadcasting Act that it's before the Portfolio Committee. That, you know, we'll have to finalize it as soon as possible. And this has not been achieved too, and we'll be finalizing it in the 17-18 financial year. And then on the community media support strategy, in the fourth quarter, we planned to compile and finalize a research report on community media support. This has been achieved, and the research report on community media support mechanisms has been compiled, and all stakeholders have been consulted with recommendations, which will be making it public very, very soon. In the fourth quarter, with regards to supporting the community radio stations, we plan to provide two community radio stations with broadcasting infrastructure. This has been achieved. We have provided the MLO FM in Mpumalanga province and the Elgin FM in the Western Cape province. Honourable members, now I'll move to program 3, which is industry and capacity development. On the first objective that we planned to have 3 digital broadcasting awareness campaigns, this has been exceeded. You know, instead of 3, we managed to have 36 broadcasting awareness campaigns in the provinces of KZN, Free State, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. This has been far exceeded because of we received money in January from Treasury, you know, which was allocated to the DTT. Hence, we had so many awareness campaigns than planned. And at the time that we planned 3, we did not have resources. Hence, you find that, you know, that number has been exceeded. And then with regards to the number of international communications programs that we had to implement and monitor, we have, and in this particular target, we're supposed to present progress reports on DTT and content app implementation at multilateral platforms and other related meetings. During this period, we did not have any platform that, you know, was supposed to present this except our own internal, you know, forum. However, we had the SADC secretariat that will be visiting us, you know, in June 2017 to conduct a study on impact assessment on the implementation of the SADC roadmap on the DTT. And this will provide us a platform to report back on how far are we as far as the implementation of DTT is concerned. During this quarter, we also planned to have a report that shows consumer access to digital broadcasting migration, and we have since achieved that. We have recorded to date in our report 98,800 registrations. We have distributed, you know, 668 set-top boxes to support warehouses, and 256,556 accessories, that is the antenna and satellite dishes, have also been distributed to the post offices, and we have installed 20,752 set-top boxes. With regards to the broadcasting advisory body, we had to have 2 reports on the work of the advisory body. We have achieved this. The advisory body has managed to complete 2 reports, which are focusing around the broadcasting skills and again on the funding for the sector. And then with regards to the tabling of 2 position papers, we have participated, we're supposed to participate in multilateral and bilateral events, and the department has attended the G20 Consumer Summit in Berlin from the 14th to the 15th of March, and a report on the deliberations has been compiled. With regards to the stakeholder management, we're expected to have 3 stakeholder engagements that we're supposed to coordinate, and we have managed to achieve that. We have coordinated the 22nd BRICS Interdepartmental Technical Senior Officials Team meeting. In partnership with DECO and the Presidency, we have also been coordinating on our part the launch of the SA-China high-level people-to-people mechanism, and we have since held the consultative meeting with stakeholders on the visit of the Deputy Minister of Russia on ITEC communication. On entity oversight, the first objective was around the oversight reports that we're supposed to analyze and submitted to the minister. We have since achieved that. However, two of the reports were not submitted to the minister because of the ICASA did not actually attend the bilateral meeting due to other commitments, and the, also the FABC one was postponed because at the time the board was not actually on board. And then on the report on governance forum, we have managed to achieve this on all the forums, that is the CFO's forum, bilateral engagement of DOC entities, and the monitoring and evaluation forum. So on this particular aspect, as far as the report on the governance forum that we have with our entities, this has been achieved. Regarding the accountability instruments, we planned to have one shareholder compact and four accountability instruments. This has since been compiled and submitted to the minister. Well, these are the 2017-18 instruments, not 16-17, because we normally do them during the fourth quarter. They've been submitted to the ministry and we're waiting for feedback from the ministry and approval. So this has been partially achieved, not fully achieved, and we intend that, you know, by the first week of next month we would have finalized it. With regards to aligning our reports, the other reports of the entities with the priorities of the department, we have achieved that, as all the APPs that were submitted or were presented before Parliament, they've been analyzed, and we have also engaged the entities to ensure that what we have committed to, it's aligned to what they've planned to do in the 17-18 financial year. On the financial information per program, the program one, which is administration, we have managed to spend 99% of the budget, and our performance is sitting at 83%. Program two spent 88%, and the performance is currently at 50%. Program 3 spends 74%, and their performance level is at 83%, while Program 4 spends 100%, and the performance level is at 50%. The program, when we look at this slide, it shows what each program had as the budget and where we are sitting, you know, by the end of the financial year. Program 1, which is administration, had 57.7, and by the end of the fourth quarter, we spent the 13.6 million and we are sitting at 99%. Program 2, which is our core, we had a budget of 7.1, and in the fourth quarter, we spent 1.6, which ultimately makes us to be at 88% in terms of spending. And then with industry and capacity development, when you look at that particular budget, you know, this is actually including the adjustment budget. That is, by the end of the fourth quarter, the total expenditure that we have was 35 million, and then we're sitting at 74%, and entity oversight we have spent 100%. So in essence, by the end of the fourth quarter, we have spent 99% of our budget. This is a slide that shows or depicts the previous slide, but in a graph format. And per classification of our budget in the fourth quarter, with regards to the budget that we have on the compensation of employees, we've spent 96% on goods and services. In the fourth quarter, we spent 13.9 million, which shows that, you know, around that budget, we've spent 75% on transfer payments, which is depicted in the previous slide under entity oversight program. We have spent 100% on machinery and equipment. In the fourth quarter, we spent 2.4 million, which by the end of the fourth quarter, we spent 100%. So in essence, this slide depicts what we have spent, you know, per economic classification. And then this is a graphic depiction of what we have spent, in terms of economic classification versus the expenditure. Mm-hmm. Honorable members, this slide shows the final budget allocation for the 2016-17 financial year. That is, the total budget for the department was 1.3 billion. And for transfers to the GCIS and entities, that was 1.2 billion. On compensation of employees, it was 68 million. On goods and services, 45 million. And on capital and machinery, it was 3.8 million. When disaggregating the funds earmarked for transfers and subsidies, we had an operational budget of 117 million, including the compensation of employees. During the adjustment of the national estimates, we received an amount of 41 million, which we was earmarked for DTT, and these funds were shifted from ICASA to the department. Honorable Chairperson, if I may clarify this. During the course of the year, the ICASA had, you know, a savings of 41 million, which they had to surrender to Treasury. And because of we've been knocking on their door that we need money, instead of that money being surrendered by surrendered to Treasury directed out to us, and it was mainly meant for the DTT program and nothing else. And in 2015-16 financial year, we also received the rollover of funds that we got approval of 1.2 million, which was also allocated to the DTT awareness, and also the GCIS was allocated an additional 3.1 million in respect for, in particular, that was supposed to be spent for the Vukuzenzele magazine or newspaper. So when one looks at this slide, is that, you know, with administration, the main appropriation were sitting at 45, and after the adjustment we're at 57 million, and with communication policy, after the adjustment we're sitting at 7 million. Industry and capacity development, that's where the DTT program is. We had, with the main appropriation, we had 10 million, and after the adjustment, we had 47.6 million. And on entity oversight, we did not have any improvement. And in total, this slide shows what we had after the adjusted appropriation, which is 1.349 billion. With regard to the adjustment budget per economic classification, for compensation of employees, we had 68 million, and part of what we received, we spent it on DTT contract employees because that was not funded. So the money that we received for those particular on compensation of employee, we could not direct it anywhere because we were sitting with employees in the DTT program that were on contract, and you know there were no funds to cover for the compensation. With regards to goods and services, we, with the main appropriation, we had 15.9 million, and after appropriation we had 45, and that was channeled through the DTT program. And transfers and subsidies, there we did not have any changes, but with regard to the payment of capital assets, we had 84,000, but then after the adjustment, we took 3.8 million to mainly to the DTT program, because of we used to hire cars, and instead of hiring cars for the DTT program, we bought new cars so that, you know, the employees that are in that program for awareness can be able to travel, and minimizing the cost, because of that was almost costing us a lot of money with the hiring of vehicles. That is the end of the presentation.
Okay. Members, first of all, the issue of where is this? The core program 2, communications policy and research and development. It's always a change, it's always change. It's few millions. And this is the what you are supposed to work on that program too, but money that goes there is too little. But members will recall that in our report and in our debate, we did raise the issue of the little funding for the department. All of us, I think, did say that. The last one, I was checking from the secretary. And I know this is your first quarter report as acting bishop. But as your colleague next to you is not the first one. And the advisor to the minister is not the first one. And you recall that we're not fighting, but we're saying you can't just give us a presentation without the document, the base document. Remember that discussion, remember? This is what we have. Only, there is nothing we can refer to. It's only the presentation, but there must be a document that reflects the detail, and we don't have that document. But under the who was that DJ? Well, there's another one. Norman? Under Norman Muzarel, we raised this example that the cause of just tie up the person and then you beat that person so that he or she can't do anything. That's what they're doing to us by just the presentation. But anyway, that's what we have, members. That's what we have with the presentation. I'll start from Honorable Teddy and then go that way. Yeah, I'll Honorable Teddy and then Honorable Trachen and then Honorable Van Dijk, and then I'll come to other members.
I think DG is commendable to have spent 99% of the money allocated. More often we talk about people complaining about money and all the things that money is not spent on any part of that one on a positive note. But that slide that talks to that expenditure, I want you to try and clarify it vis-a-vis slide 8. We talked about some of the things that were not achieved. Money spent, 99% as I've indicated, is well commendable. But vis-a-vis this slide, I want to clarify that. Some of the programs that have not been attended. The second one, Chair, relates to the research report that has been compiled. I don't remember which slide was it. I think we will appreciate if we can as well get be provided with that kind of a report. It assists us as we conduct our oversight work. Slide 20. I'm trying to look at in terms of the progress that we have made with regard to digital migration, your number of STBs distributed, installations and the like. But I'm begging to know exactly what was the target there. Because for us to be able to track performance, we must know what is it that you have targeted. So all I'm saying is I'm worried because I can't track if indeed there was performance in that particular area without knowing exactly how many STBs, for example, were you targeting to distribute under
the period that we're talking about.
The second last one talks to the analysis of the reports of entities. I was just taking notes, I don't remember as well which slide was it. That talks to you analyzing the performance of the entities. There was, I think it's that one. That report that you compiled. I think we will appreciate, it might not be now, I think going forward, to be presented with feedback in terms of, in the process of you analyzing the performance of those entities. What are the findings? I think we will appreciate to know. Because analyzing, coming up with a report to us, it does not mean anything without us knowing exactly how are these entities performing. So I'm saying it might be useful, Chair, in the near future, if we can as well be provided with some feedback on, in terms of how those entities are performing. The very last one, Chair, I don't want to waste your time. It's on the 41 million that ICASA surrendered to Treasury, ultimately it was brought back and then rechanneled to DTT. It's a bit worrying unless I'm convinced in terms of the explanation given by ICASA then, such a large amount of money meant to assist ICASA to attend to the program that they're supposed to do in terms of the mandate. But ultimately, that money is not utilized and we had to surrender it to Treasury. Now it was redirected and back to the department, and you end up utilizing it for DTT. I would appreciate to know exactly what was the explanation given by ICASA then, why that money was not utilized. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Van Dijk. Sorry. Yes. I'll come back to another topic.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Slide 8.
I want to know, program for entity oversight, it says that only 50% of what was planned was achieved, but 100% of the budget allocated for that was spent. So I want you to just explain to me how did you do the planning, and how did you, and also entity oversight, can you just give us an indication of what you mean with that? What did you do for that? In our page, or slide 12, page 12, it says that 14 of the positions are vacant, that means 18%. And I want to know if there is any acting positions, and on what level, is it senior level, and also what positions are they? Then on page 20, with regards to the STV setup boxes that was distributed to the SAPO warehouses, with regards to the minister's stance on the setup boxes and encryption, what will the implication of that be? These boxes without encryption that's now being distributed. It's almost, I'm not sure, it just says that these were to the post offices, but what now we have been actually distributed into the communities, and then how will that, what effect will that be have on that? And also then the cost involved with that, have you, is there any cost estimate, did you make any estimations on that? And then on page 35, I want to know what percentage of your budget is actually spent on employees and what percentage goes to actual output. Thank you.
Okay, another one.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. My colleagues have covered me in terms of slide 8, which I'm not going to repeat. On slide 12, the 14 vacancies. I would like to know why they are vacant and why it cannot be filled, because it's more than 15% and we need to try and keep it below 10%. So why are they still vacant? My next question relates to people with disabilities. I applaud the department 2.6%. Please don't stop there, it can increase more, but I would like to know on which levels these people are appointed who have disabilities. And then slide 19, the previous meetings in the previous terms, I kept asking your awareness to the public relating to the digital broadcast awareness campaign. If people with disabilities are aware about this campaign, I would like to know the 36 that you have done, KwaZulu-Natal, Free State, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga, were people with disabilities present? Because I messaged the deaf community in those provinces and they were not aware of these campaigns. So can you also make sure that you contact organizations who provide services to people with disabilities so that they are also aware of the digital migration? Now, also relating to that, the setup boxes, I keep asking, are subtitles going to be available for people who are hard of hearing or later become deaf and who are deaf already? I've been told yes, but I've received no confirmation that they will be accessible in terms of subtitles. Now, what is the update with regard to that? And, yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm covered.
Thanks, Chair. I think what I'm going to raise has been touched by both what I would say to yourself in different languages at the risk of being a scratched record. I want to repeat the proposal, Chair, one has been making that we need to, this is the fourth quarter, we need to sit with the department and discuss the language of results-based management. Because when we say you spend 90-something% money,
It's a very important indicator, but the most important thing that you must be able to articulate is the change you have made as a result of that expenditure in the area where you are working. For instance, if you speak about industry and capacity development, you say creative industry. Creative industry is a very huge thing, very, very huge. When you spend money as communication there, what aspects of development of creative industry that you are targeting? They said, Honorable Jim says, so that we know whether you have achieved that, we want to know at your entry point, where is it? What difference therefore you're making? You see, what is here? It's like saying, let me put it this way. In 10 days, I want to rejoin some of 1,500 commanders. You call that a strategic goal. And then you say, my strategic objective is to make sure that I will walk. This is what is happening here. In all this management, this is exactly what we're fighting about. So as long as we make sure that we walk, we'll make sure that the people who are walking have got food, have got energy, have got whatever. When we meet you in 3 days, you say you've walked. People have eaten. And you say you've done your work, but we don't know how many kilometers you have traveled. We don't know whether you are close to your work. All what we know, you've walked. You know you can walk within your yard. In your yard and walk. Because when we talk about results-based management, we're saying, I'm going to use this as an example very strongly. If you say you're going to, in 10 days, you want to reach Tokyo, which is 1,500 kilometers, we want to know how many kilometers after 5 days would you have covered along N1. So that when we meet, you want to check if you have covered, to check if indeed you are going to reach. So that we are able to say, close the shop, you will never arrive. We are not going to give you money because you are not making the change. But that's a simple. So I hear some of your colleagues saying, oh, they can't be different language in changes. Let me use this Joburg thing. You cannot say you put your language here. If we go to Joburg, you say you want to cover 1,500 kilometers, you can't say, I've got my own language. There's nothing like that. We want to know how many kilometers you cover per day. This is what is missing in all these reports. Now, if you look at your strategic goals, you are articulating, I've said this 1,000 times, you're articulating what you call there, in the strategic goals, you're saying, if you look at how it is written, it says effective, efficient leadership. One assumes it has not reached. One would make a lousy assumption and say it is not effective now. It is not efficient now. Otherwise, why are you targeting it? If you say such a goal is effective, efficient leadership, it means it's not. So it means in a year's time, 3 years time, something like that. You want it to be like that. Now the question is, what is the level of effectiveness now, as we speak? What is the level of efficiency now? This is what it is asking, as we speak. So that we know in a year's time or in 6 months' time whether you are on course towards that efficiency. Now, when you come to what you call strategic objectives, you say we will ensure compliance. It's similar to say, to get to Joburg, we'll ensure we work. We'll improve capacity, we'll ensure people, we'll ensure that people eat before they go to Joburg, or they eat on the road. But we don't know how many cases will you have covered. That's the point we're trying to fight here. We'll ensure viability. In real terms, what is the state of viability now, and what are the characteristics that define that viability as we speak? So that we know the change we have made through the money we have given you, And this is what Honorable Terry is fighting for. And then Honorable Chair says, then if you give us the base document, we'll be able to know, as you enter the space, what problem are you trying to deal with? When you say industry development, what is the state of industry as we speak? If you say capacity development, what is the state of capacity as we speak? And I'm saying, sir, I think we need to deal with this. Otherwise, as members of parliament, we're just getting paid. We can't just celebrate 99% expenditure when we don't know the change that comes as a result of that. And how do we decide? Can we have a common understanding of that change? That's exactly the point, man. And we cannot say there's different type of kilometers. No, kilometer covered is kilometer covered. Even if we walk as well, it must say kilometer covered. Even if you say it in Xhosa, it must say kilometers covered. Let's cross over. You can't say it's language is covered, the content must be the same. Because change, a change we're pursuing, we must understand it in the same way like yourself. It's a scratch record. My request again last year, that I wish we can have a session where we discuss this. So that way we come, man. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Kongbera. Anything, Honorable
Matisha and Honorable Fanda? I'm covered. Okay.
Honorable Fanda, are you covered? Okay, I think everybody is covered. But on this last point, maybe we'll have to, I don't know what we must do for the department to do that. Because it's quite important, and he's not raising it for the first time. Maybe you may make suggestions as to how you will deal. Simplified. Honorable Kongbera just simplified what we want. And I think when we come back, I don't know how we'll do it, but when we meet again, we must tell us exactly what members want. But anyway, there were other questions either of that one. Can you take time to respond?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. Firstly, my apologies. We sent the base report that supports this slide. And we'll check, and by the time we leave him, the secretary will have, you know, that particular report. We did send it. We'll have to follow up with the office in ministry as to what really happened. But we do have that kind of a report. And my apologies that, you know, I was not aware that, you know, it was not sent. If I was aware, I could have sent it with that report, you know, when we sent the presentation yesterday. Firstly, I'll deal with the slide 8 matters that have been raised on slide 8 with regards to the planned and not achieved targets and vis-a-vis the 99%, you know, of the budget that has been spent. For instance, when one looks at, you know, the policies that we could have concluded, you know, under program 2 that have not been done. Obviously, although the work has been done, but as long as that act is or that policy or, you know, has not been approved on our side, it has not been achieved because we did not ultimately plan on the processes, but the processes were to look at, you know, the audiovisual policy, you know, being finalized, but if it has not been finalized, it has not been achieved. And again, when you look at the, for instance, in program one, of all what we have planned for, because of we did not have, you know, some of the invoices that we're supposed to pay within 30 days, you know, being 100%, that ultimately, you know, affected, you know, our budget. So we did not achieve those. With regards to what Honorable Zin said about the research report that is on the committee media broadcast strategy, we will be able, you know, to give the committee that kind of a research report. And with regards to slide 20 on the DTT, I think we come back to what we note what Honorable Ngungubele said, because when you look at that target, it was talking about, you know, a report. But in terms of that report, when we actually talked about, you know, the actual achievement, it ultimately, you know, put on the figures of, you know, those set-top boxes and antennae and whatever. But those kind of targets, we do not find them in, you know, the APP, but they are actually somewhere else. And we note that with concern, because of this might not be the achievement, because of we don't even have baseline as to what is it that was supposed to be achieved in the fourth quarter. But again, when one looks at where we're coming from and with the challenges that we have, you know, around DTT, yes, those are achievements, but we don't have a baseline because we did not plan as to how many were supposed to be in the post office, for instance. So there were, in fact, it's true, there was no target with regards to, you know, the number of those set-top boxes and accessories that were supposed to be in the post office. With regards to the analysis report of entities, we will ultimately, you know, give those kind of reports to the committee. Because what normally happens is when we receive a quarterly report, we analyze it from the line function, that is the entity oversight, the DG's office, and the advisors before they are brought forward. But again, we also follow up on matters that could have been raised by either the portfolio committee or could have been raised by the auditor general. So we'll be able, you know, to provide such a report as to when we analyze the entity oversight report, what is it exactly that we look for, and what is it that, you know, is minister's directive, you know, as far as, you know, those gaps are concerned. So we'll be able to provide those reports effective from now in the first quarter. With regards to the 41 million from ICASA, I would not be able to articulate exactly where the savings are, but with some of the services that were over budgeted for, you know, by ICASA, that's where some of the savings, you know, were derived from, and some of the cost containment measures that they embarked upon, you know, could not be, that money could not be spent because of that. So they realized those savings, hence, you know, it was directed to us, you know, from ICASA. But we'll be talking to ICASA to prepare, you know, a response so that, you know, they can inform the committee or share with the committee where they derived, you know, those savings from. With regards to the vacant, with regards to the program for on entity oversight, when one looks at that slide that shows the budget on entity oversight ultimately has a budget, you know, for the GCIS and for the five entities. So that's where the transfers, you know, happen in that particular program. And most of the work that is done in that particular unit is not really involving consultants. Mainly it's around goods and services, you know, in that particular area, hence they've spent 100%. This is what we have transferred also to the entities and the GCIS. Hence, you know, that 100% that is the... And then, with regards to what percentage is spent on employees versus output, I do not understand this question as to whether in output it's meaning core business or what each employee is currently, you know, contributing towards an organization. I think I would like to get clarity on that. With regards to the vacant positions that we have, they are at various levels, but as we explained previously, for the current financial year, we'll only be able, with the budget that we have, to fill in the most senior positions, that is the DG, the DDG entity oversight, and the DDG policy, and one internal audit junior position. Those are the positions that, with the resources that we have, will be able to fill in this current financial year. With regards to the acting positions, currently we've got only two acting appointments, that is the acting Director General and the acting DDG entity oversight. The rest, we do not have any other, you know, acting positions in the department. And with regards to the employees with disabilities, I think the Chief Director Corporate Services can articulate as to where are these levels. What are the levels?
Thank you, DJ, and thank you, Chairperson. This is two employees. One is a female SMS member, and one is a level 5.
With regards to, you know, encryption, you know, with the boxes that we have at the moment, I think the matter is sub judice, that, you know, it will be very much misleading of me as to what answer should I give, because of that is a matter that is before the court. And with regards to the campaigns covered with people with disabilities, I think we haven't done much on it. I think it's something that we'll be looking at and we'll be prioritizing, you know, especially looking at different kind of disabilities and the issues of the subtitles. You know, it's something that, you know, we'll take it up with the team that is currently working on the DDT and on the audiovisual, you know, policy, to ensure that, you know, that does not fall within the cracks. But so far we haven't done much in that particular area, and we take note of that. With regards to what Honorable Chachu has been always talking about, we take cognizance of...
Honorable Ngungubele,
my apologies, Chairperson. Wanted to get his attention, because I can see that, you know, he's not... honorable members, I think maybe that is something that we need to be working on, as to when, although we are a policy-making department, to say that, you know, each strategic goal should speak to the outcomes that are really what the committee would like to see. For instance, if we say that we've ultimately achieved something, or our objective on universal access, we should be currently coming back and reporting directly to that particular strategic objective. When we talk about the creative industry, we'll have to unpack that to say that what have we done thus far, you know, in terms of transforming the creative industry. So we agree with Honorable Zedi and Honorable Mugubele that is very crucial, so that, you know, we do not come here and report on something that, you know, it's a policy, but, you know, the impact of that policy or what has changed or what outcome is brought, you know, to the communities is concerned. So I think we agree with that Honorable Chairperson, that it's something that we need to do. It's something that we need to engage on as far as, you know, the outcomes are concerned. So that, you know, we get clear direction as to, when we talk about efficient and effective leadership, we start with a baseline as to where are we and what is it that we need to report on, you know, towards the end of the financial year, or what we're planning to achieve towards the end of the financial year, so that we are not found wanting when we come back with semantics and the approach of our reporting.
Okay, I think that's all. Unless there are follow-ups, Honorable Sidi and Honorable Fandik.
It's not necessarily a follow-up. You know this area of community radio, I'm very passionate about it. When can we get these reports? Research report about the support we are giving to community radios and all those other issues that we raised earlier. Can we attach time frame, Chairperson? When can we get these reports?
So I'm actually, Robert, I just want to be clarity. I'm not sure if I heard what percentage of the budget is spent on the employees. And then what I mean for the output is actually what is delivered for, what is the percentage of the budget that goes for goods and services in comparison with that.
Okay. Captured?
Okay.
Have you captured the question?
Yes. With regards to the compensation of employees, we spend over 60% of our budget on compensation of employees. Our budget of the 1.3 billion and that of 117 million, 68 million goes to compensation of employees. With regards to the second one, Honorable Chairperson, you'll get the, we'll send the report by Thursday.
What we have to present is not in the agenda. It's the ISKOTA committee program. Otherwise, thank you very much, Acting DG. Thank you very much for your responses, Acting DG and Corporate Services. I'm happy that you know that other people are charged with it. Then you'll know even those who are Kali. No, just clan names, Honorable Tucker. Just clan names. I think the technical issue is becoming to understand. In tribes. members, can we go? Thank you very much. Well done. Except that we didn't have your
based document. You said you circulated it. It talks to a number of things. You want members, you do have the program. We are going to utilize Fridays. I must start there. Fridays are now programmed because they are part of committee days. That's what the speaker's office or the programming committee instructed us to. But up to lunchtime, members, Friday is still a committee day. As usual, we go up to 1 o'clock. You will see that we are today 30th, and then Friday the 2nd will be getting to Zayas, meaning the ministry must be here, as well as the acting DG of GCIS, because it's a separate department. On Tuesday next week is a joint meeting that we're talking about, the DTT, yes. The DTT things, some of them will be dealt with in that meeting with the joint committee with telecoms. On Friday, again, on the 9th, it will be SABC, fourth quarter report, from 9 to 1 o'clock. Friday meetings will be starting at 9, not at 1, so that we finish much earlier than 12. And then Tuesday, the 13th, will be briefing by the Department on Media Transformation Colloquium, adoption of oversight reports. Remember the oversight report, adoption of public hearings report on films and publications bill, and then on the 20 to 23rd June, members training. I hope it's confirmed, but it's in our program with the vets. 27th of June to the 30th, it's oversight visit. 27th, what day is 27th? We are in KZN finishing up our oversight report, oversight that we started in Gauteng, and we'll have to put up in KZN on the 26th, so that we start working on the 27th. That is true. And then up to the 30th of June, which is on a Friday. 30th June is on a Friday. Members of the program will start from this coming Friday, the 2nd, if there are issues. Honorable Teddy?
No, Chair, we will obviously second the proposal. I think members know that the problem with the arrangement, but we wanted to appeal, if possible, that the Friday arrangement starts next week. Since members had already planned for this week, not knowing that Fridays are not committee days, if possible, but we have no problem in the arrangement as suggested from your office. With due respect.
It's only the 2nd.
Yeah. With due respect.
Honorable Pande?
Chivarari, I do have a question. I agree with this because I will also be able to be here on Friday next
Are you seconding that the prices must start?
Yes, but I want to ask, why don't we use Wednesday? Is there any of the members that entities on Wednesday?
Yeah. These three members.
Okay.
I don't know if Honorable Matisha as well. So it's another committee day for other committees. We have one committee.
Okay.
We don't have a problem, but you know, other members do have a problem. It's only Friday where they can be available. Are you okay?
Yeah, no, my only problem is that my constituency is 7 hours drive, so if I want to go down to the Magdalen, but for a weekend for constituency and we've got committee, that means that my theory is such, but I will fall into the record.
Members, we just put in items on Friday. Fridays are committee days. All committees. It's a committee day. Committee days are not up to Thursday. Are up to Friday. It's just that we have not been programming Friday as a committee day. Other members are here on Friday all the time. So I'm saying, yes, we understand the issues of constituencies and all of that, but you can open your parliamentary program. It says Friday committee day. Honorable Kongwele and Honorable Van.
First, I support the Friday program, Chair. I also want to second that in terms of the mindset, I would have been badly ambushed by the Friday, this Friday. And what I'm also worried about, which I don't see in the process of name is covered. I mean, you know, somebody has been attending from meeting the process of appointing the new board, whether it's in our plan. If it fits, I'm okay. The new board. Remember the permanent board, we're in the interim board now. Whether that plan was adopted already.
No, it will be in the next.
Angiti, we are sending out applications, I mean, adverts this coming weekend, and it takes a month. And then once we get all that by end of June, we'll then begin the process. Let's have it next week. I mean the other way, because it's a normal process. It's just that we'll have to agree on this one. Because you recall that there were issues around the appointment of the CASA on the question of a subcommittee. Remember there is a subcommittee to shortlist and interview. But it looks like the program, I mean, the process that we found here, members have some queries. They think that everybody must participate. Yes, sir.
Without delaying, you should, all that I'm strongly proposing is that it's important to know these processes upfront so that our mindset is geared for them. That's what we're also proposing in the implementation of ad hoc committee. I mean, a clear process plan,
okay.
Implementation plan. So on that front, we are able to stick by the terms. You know that by that time, we're going to, it helps to work better.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Honorable Duncan.
Thank you, Chair. I have a different question related to the Media Transformation Colloquium report. I just want to know if members have already received this report so that we can read it before time. I just want to know that. Thank you, Chair.
No, we don't have it. We're just programming it so that when it gets it, members are up to speed with it. Anything else on the program, members? No, I think there is an agreement that this coming Friday is out. Members have agreed they seconded to cancel it because there will be no member on Friday. if that's an honorable study is wedding. it starts next week, is it the 9th? It starts on the 9th and then we'll continue. It helps us members to do our work thoroughly. Because, you know, this rush has ended in 3 hours. Yeah, so the Fridays will, augment the time. So we'll shift GCIS to the, not to the 9th. What are we doing? We'll work out the program. We'll prioritize. If next Tuesday, we'll see what to do. But the program, items of the program are like that. But from tomorrow, we'll send out the you know, what we'll be doing next week. And I'm...
Thank you. Thank you.